Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, A Skillful Song by Joseph Mendel.
How shall I tell you about my brother? How can I show him to you when I am no longer sure that I understand the difference between my brother and me? For we were different, even as seen in the photograph album, Children Growing Older, page by page. Here am I, looking straight ahead with a smile for the camera. But his head is turned, as if a bird's wing fluttered, or the breeze brought the fragrance of honeysuckle. And his smile is for a world in which a bird flies, or the wind is flower-scented. If later you heard our voices in a room with others, if you listened to his words and to mine, you would think that I were the elder, not he. And in the end, the little things became the important difference in what we were. So that hearing the music, you did not hear my brother Saul separate from the rest. But the cadenza flowed from my fingers, and in the end, I alone was heard. I remember the beginning. One day when Saul was 18 and I 2 years younger, our father called us into the parlor for a serious talk.
I want you both to understand, you Aaron and you Saul. Saul, put your fiddle away and listen. It's not only the fees at the conservatory. There is also the expense of living away from home. You see? No, you don't see. There is money for only one of you to study at the conservatory. The other can continue for a while at least with your teacher here. Well?
I remember how words trembled on my tongue. But I closed my lips and looked at Saul. Let him speak.
Your teacher says you both show promise. Saul, you are the elder. Maybe it is your right. But whatever we decide, let the decision be made by all three of us.
He would speak. I only had to press my lips tighter and be still. My brother Saul would speak.
Let him go, Papa. Let Aaron study at the conservatory. That's a handsome poster, Aaron.
Yeah, it's time for a new photograph. That one's 5 years old.
Aaron Bergman, violinist. Papa would have been proud.
Papa was impartial. He would have been just as proud if it were you.
Of course.
Now, what are you laughing at?
The poster. Aaron Bergman, violinist. Only musicians are so simple and direct. Can you imagine a poster, let's say, John Keats, lyric poet?
All right, Saul. All right, so you think I'm arrogant, but it's no different from the posters of other musicians.
Well, that's what I said. Besides, I'm also a musician.
Yes, in the second violin section, while...
While you give recitals and play concertos with the whole orchestra to accompany you.
I have always felt your resentment.
I know. But for no reason.
You must have resented it all these years. Saul, why did you speak that day?
It was 25 years ago, Aaron.
You could have been the one to study at the conservatory. Why did you let me go? You must have thought about it. I want to know.
I've thought about it, but I'm not sure I can tell you. Aaron, you know how many study and prepare for years and then give one recital.
To a paper house filled with their friends.
And are never heard again. It takes more than study and training.
You need talent.
Talent. And also a certain temperament. And I wasn't sure I had all of these, or any of them.
We were kids. How could you be sure?
You were sure. You knew Aaron, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I knew. Didn't you even want to try?
Of course I did. But I could feel your wanting and your sureness.
So you sacrificed yourself for me?
I never said or felt that. I didn't think I could explain it. Aaron, there was a chance for only one of us. If I took it, it meant mortgaging each day for an uncertain future.
The future is always uncertain.
Yours less than mine. Besides, now don't be offended, Aaron. Besides, for me, there were other things I wanted or could want each day, but not you. And you see, Aaron, I was right, wasn't I?
I don't know. After 25 years, after the first beginning that sets the direction and limits the choice, how do you know who was right? A man wants what is in his nature to want. And my brother Saul, what did he want? To play in the background, dim by comparison with the circle of light in which I played? Sometimes when the orchestra also rose to applaud, it seemed to me that I could hear his separate voice.
Bravo, Aaron! Bravo!
I was pleased, but I wondered. I wondered. And not only then, but other times, as one Friday evening when Saul and Eva, his wife, came to us for the Sabbath meal.
Everything's ready, Aaron.
Good, Hannah. I'm hungry. Let's all sit down.
Oh, wait, Aaron.
What is it?
Remember when Papa used to come home from the synagogue on Friday night? Even before the kiddush, he would pronounce the benediction upon us. Upon the children.
Of course I remember. So?
Say the blessing, Aaron.
Why?
Well, do you need a reason for blessing your children?
Saul, in your own house, you can do what you like. But here?
In my house, there are no children.
Then who are you to instruct me about mine?
Aaron.
Stop living in my music, in my children.
You don't know what you're saying.
Stop living in my life.
Don't listen to him. He doesn't mean it.
Saul should not have insisted about the blessing. I think it would be best for us to go, Hannah.
No, Eva. Not like this, in anger.
Oh, wait, Eva. We're brothers, Aaron and I. In all the years, we've said many terrible things to each other. If Aaron wants us to go, we'll go.
I don't want you to go, Saul. I'm sorry for what I said, Eva. Please believe me, I'm very sorry.
Yes, I know. What you said is nothing. I have no children. The pain is not in being reminded of it.
Eva said I insisted. I didn't mean to, Aaron.
It doesn't matter now.
Whatever you may think, I live my life in my way. When I see a flower, I want to touch it and smell it. If I see a piece of music, I want to play it for myself because it's beautiful, not because an audience will applaud. I shouldn't have said it, Aaron.
It's what you think, isn't it?
I think how few days there are in a lifetime and how precious each day must be and what a thing it is to see children and smile and want to bless them.
Saul, will you say the blessing?
No. The words are for the father to speak.
You're still insisting?
Please, Aaron, no more.
All right, Hannah.
Come, children. Stand near your father. Yes, like that.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord... The Lord... I've forgotten.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord turn his face unto thee, and give thee peace.
I have wanted to tell you of my brother, not of myself. It is not important, then, that his presence seemed to me to be a constant reminder of what? I didn't know, and the not knowing was drenched in vague anger. If there was peace, it was not in me.
I've had little enough peace from Eva and you these past few days, Aaron.
It's a chance for you, Saul, another chance. Hofstein is here from the West Coast looking for a new concertmaster.
Huh? I wish him success.
Oh, what do you do with a man like that?
Try letting me be.
Saul, you can at least talk to Hofstein.
Why, Eva? Because a concertmaster is paid more?
That's not a bad thing. But for just the two of us, we have enough now.
Good. You're not mercenary. Then is it so that people will say, look, Mr. and Mrs. Concertmaster Bergman.
Oh, you're being very unpleasant, Saul.
I'm sorry. But you and Aaron have been... Well, you've been nagging me for a week. Why? Tell me why.
Let me tell him.
Why? Because you don't have to remain in the second violin section all your life.
Well, what's wrong with that? I like it.
And you wouldn't like to be a concertmaster?
It's not the same thing. I am already a second violin, and a good one.
You know what I think, Saul? I think you're afraid to try something new because you might fail.
It's no use, Aaron. You can't shame me into doing what you want me to do.
I give up. There's nothing more to be said?
Yes, there is. You asked me why I've been urging you, Saul.
Nagging was the word, wasn't it?
We've been married a long time, and I suppose that I know you as well as anyone can. Whatever else you may be, you're also a musician.
Well, what does that have to do with it?
Maybe nothing. But, Saul, maybe as concertmaster, you can be more of a musician, more of all the things you are.
You see, Aaron, she knows how to persuade me. All right, Eva. I'll talk to Hofstein.
Well, Saul?
It was a short conversation. He said no. You're not surprised?
Why should I be? Knowing you, I can almost hear your conversation. I don't suppose, Mr. Hofstein, that you would care to hire me as a concertmaster, would you?
It's not an exact rendition.
Well, it's close enough, I'm sure.
What do you want of me, Aaron?
I don't want anything. But you should have some normal human ambition. If not for your own sake, then for Eva's.
Are you also ambitious for me, Eva?
Of course I am. But maybe not in the same way as Aaron.
You mean it doesn't have to be normal?
Your way is good enough for me, Saul. I was wrong about Hofstein.
You hear? There's a wife for you. Aaron, have you seen these?
Don't change the subject.
It's the same subject, music. I have written some new pieces. A serenade for violin, a few airs, the beginning of a cadenza for the concerto you played last week. Here. Tell me what you think.
What's the good of them? No one will ever play them. No one will hear them.
I play them, Aaron. I hear them. Now, look them over.
I don't have to. They're fine for what they are. Trivial little things.
I see. You think that I ought to write a symphony for the Philharmonic, or maybe a concerto for you?
Now, that's not what I said.
I would like to write a symphony. Sometimes I even hear it in my head, and I have tried, Aaron. I've tried. Then I read what I've written, and I blush, and I quickly burn the papers.
You don't have to be a composer.
But I have to be a concertmaster? You say you know me, Aaron.
I used to think so.
Good. Then look at me. Not as a brother, but as a musician. If you were Hofstein, would you hire me?
Saul.
But would you? There you are. When you think of it, then you know. I have also thought of it, Aaron. I know what I can do and what I am. And knowing that, am I a fool or am I wise?
others in another time judge folly or wisdom. It would be enough for me to understand my brother, to know how he lived uncomplaining a life without great work, without children. A life whose emptiness seemed vaster for the little things he put in it. Reading a score, he would suddenly take his violin and play a short passage over and over again, his eyes bright with pleasure. Or he would bite an apple, then take it from his mouth and smell it, as if it were the first fruit in the Garden of Eden.
Praise be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who givest a goodly scent to fruits.
Or seated with Eva at their lonely Sabbath table, he would look at her.
A woman of valor, who can find?
And what can I tell you? In so small a life, filled day by day with small things, there could be no great and startling events. Even when something did happen, it began quietly.
It's late, Saul. You're falling asleep in your chair. What did you say? Saul, what is it?
I feel faint. Heart beats so fast. Call the doctor.
Saul!
You're Aaron Bergman, of course. I enjoyed your last recital.
Yes, yes, thank you, Doctor. How serious was the attack?
It's not a heart attack in the usual sense. Not a coronary thrombosis or anything like that. If you see me in my office in a little while...
You don't have to spare me, Doctor. I want to know.
Then I'll speak frankly, Mrs. Bergman. There is a marked dysrhythmia and also tachycardia. Extremely rapid heartbeat. Related to a general deterioration of the heart muscle. It is serious.
Will he? I mean, how long?
You mustn't ask me that.
I have to know.
I can't tell you. Might be a year, or even longer. It might be a month, a week, tomorrow. I'm sorry, Mrs. Bergman.
Yes. Thank you for being honest with me.
We'll keep him here in the hospital for a week or so.
Then I can take him home?
He'll be more comfortable at home. But I'm afraid there's nothing you can do for him.
You're wrong, Doctor. There is always something one person can do for another.
It's good to see you home again, Saul. And looking so well. Does he give you much trouble, Eva?
Saul? He's an ideal patient.
You'll be coming to rehearsal soon. You'll see. What are you laughing about?
You're trying so hard to cheer me up.
Well, I meant every word I said.
Of course. But you forget to take the tremolo out of your voice. Now, Aaron, sit down and stop worrying about me.
I'm not worried. I just want you to follow the doctor's orders. Without any of your nonsense. And get well soon.
Aaron, do you think I want to die? Maybe that is what you think. After all, what do I have to look forward to?
You're putting words in my mouth.
I'll tell you what.
Now, Saul.
I wake up early these days. This morning I saw the sun come up. The shapes and colors in the sky. I can't begin to describe them. Aaron, I'm looking forward to seeing the sunrise tomorrow. Now, what are you laughing at?
You're trying to cheer me up, aren't you?
Go away, Aaron. I'm tired.
You can't send me away. Saul, I want to help you.
Then try to understand me. I'm not simple-minded. I enjoy the sunrise for its own sake, not instead of other things that I've wanted and never had. Even if you get used to not having, you don't stop wanting. But how do you get used to not having children? Aaron,
Now would be a time for my children to gather around the bed so that I could look at them and smile and bless them. The Lord turn his face unto thee and give thee peace.
Saul.
Eva. Eva, I've made you cry. Aaron, you know, in all the years, this is the first time that she has cried.
It's nothing, Saul. I'm just a little tired, that's all it is.
Yes. I think I would also like to rest. Eva, for whom are you crying?
Good night, Saul. They didn't hear me. Well, never mind.
That's your recording, Aaron. I think he'll wear a hole in it.
I'll come again tomorrow.
You don't have to come every day. You're busy. You have your family. He'll understand.
I'll be here. When I see him again after being away even a week, he looks so thin and drawn. So tired.
He is tired, Aaron. Very tired. He's asleep, Aaron.
I'll wait. You spoke to the doctor. What did he say?
What can he say or do? He can only watch his condition from one day to the next.
That's what Saul was saying, isn't it, Eva? You have to live your life day by day. When is the doctor coming, Eva?
As soon as he can get away from the hospital.
You don't have to whisper. I'm not listening to you.
We thought you were asleep. What are all these papers on your bed? Music. Page after page. Now, it must have taken you hours, Saul.
And I don't sleep much. It seems such a waste.
Didn't the doctor leave sleeping pills for him, Eva?
He won't take them.
He has to take them.
Aaron, stop fussing. There's no time to...
Saul, get some water, Eva.
No water. My heart is so fast. It's in a hurry.
Don't talk now, Saul. Lie back and rest.
Aaron, let him be. He needs to talk.
Eva understands. It's strange. A man lives his whole life becoming sure of one truth. Maybe one truth is enough if you say it plainly. You have the music, Aaron?
I have it.
It's a new cadenza for the concerto. My favorite one.
I'll play it, Saul.
If you like, I've heard it in my mind. One single truth. A skillful song.
What are you saying?
From the psalm, Aaron. Sing ye praises in a skillful song. Eva.
I'm here, Saul. Take my hand.
Eva, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee as he has been to me.
This was the story of my brother. If the telling was clouded by anger, by sorrow and compassion, it was because I did not know. But now, as it ends, you must understand. It was a happy story, And he sang day by day a skillful song.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Edward T. Sandro, Rabbi of Temple Beth El in Cedarhurst, Long Island, and Vice President of the Rabbinical Assembly of America. Dr. Sandro.
We have just heard a dramatic presentation which mirrors the real problems faced by so many people in our day. Circumstances may vary, but there are Sauls and Aarons and Hannahs and Evas in every land, among all people, molded out of the human pattern. We recognize a whole gamut of emotions, sibling rivalry, unhappiness, guilt, a sense of inadequacy, emptiness, the painful feelings of powerlessness, and also love and kindness and cooperativeness and so on. Here we have a person who, like many others in our society, fails to accept himself and thereby fails to see his potential dignity as a human being. We cannot all be geniuses. We cannot all be heads of government. We cannot all make world-shaking contributions to our society. But each one of us, in his or her way, has sources of strength and integrity. Each one of us must discover and affirm values in ourselves and in our environment by which we can live and grow as people. Someone once said that those, and I think this would apply to international statesmen as well as you and me, those who want to make this world a better place had better start with themselves. Saul could have saved himself much neurotic anxiety and perhaps even a heart condition if he could have developed the power to see himself and to have empathy with others. In short, to grow a soul and to become more of a person. This is what our religious tradition means by the expression, being created in the image of God. We do not achieve it through constant self-condemnation or self-hatred. It comes through an open and honest confronting of oneself, through a sense of one's worth, with limitations, of course, through love of others, and through love of God. We never realize completely the highest qualities which life has to offer, but in the limited span we have on earth, we can make integrity and courage and love our values while we accept ourselves and adjust to life's processes. It is not always simple, but it is, together with reverence for God, the beginning of wisdom.
Thank you, Dr. Sandro. Our Eternal Light drama today, A Skillful Song, was written by Joseph Mendel. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Leon Janney as Aaron, Patricia Wheel as Hannah. Norman Rose played Saul, and Rita Lloyd, his wife, Eva. Joseph Bell was the doctor, and Santos Ortega played the father. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.